arrived home yesterday and found out that there was a 2-year-old praying for his father when his father was preaching. On his own volition, said, "Let's pray." He asked his aunt, driving in a car, "Let's pray." And she said, "For who?" And he said, "Mommy and Daddy." And at the same time, his father was standing here preaching. Now, how does a 2-year-old know that his father's standing here preaching and somewhere completely separated from here pray? More fire, more power. So what I saw this weekend was Father moving the same place everywhere at the same time. He is so omnipresent that he does those things for us. And we'll move on somebody from around the world to touch somebody's heart. So as we prayed for Mozambique this morning for the rain to fall, by Jesus' name, that rain is falling in Mozambique.
I don't know. I think that most of you heard my testimony last Tuesday about a girl in my choir who has been struggling with MS. And I told you guys that I had been praying for her. We prayed for it at healing rooms. And when I talked to her parents, I just kept hearing good reports. You know, obviously, she's still struggling with it. But then she got up, and I told you guys she sang her solo at the concert. Well, this weekend, I was really blessed. Hugely blessed by the Lord, because I got to actually go out and support her at the MS walk in Akron Zoo, and it was just a glorious time, and I was able to chat with her parents, her mom and her dad, and, you know, everyone there supporting her, and just, you know, encourage them, and you could just tell on their faces that they were just lit up just by the just kind words around them and the support. And even Nikki, is Nikki here? Well, I saw Nikki here. Is she back? Sorry? Cystic, but what did I say? MS? Oh, I was saying the wrong one. So just to be there to encourage us, that see that God was moving, even just in their hearts and in encouragement. So it was a huge blessing to me to see that. So.
Well, two things, actually. I received a physical healing from the Lord. I came in this weekend, actually Friday, just aches all over my body, really sore throat, difficult to swallow, eyes, you know, that stuff that sometimes comes. And so it was really, you know, pressing through. Received some prayer the next day, and there was a gradual increase. And I don't know how many of you know that usually something like that, it takes a few days to get over. So when you receive prayer and you see a change, you know the Lord is healing you. He's doing something. It's amazing. And received prayer yesterday from Pastor Mary Pratt, which is really amazing. And then this morning, just in the morning before we started our session, I had really bad pain down the right side of my neck and down my back. And usually that can be an indicator of a few things, but nothing seemed to relieve it. So when we were sitting here, Andy started speaking, and he had us soaked to a song, and it was about the cross. It was about, obviously, about Jesus, but specifically about his blood and a sin, and it was really awesome. And I actually felt nobody had prayed for that specifically, but I felt literally, and I've actually never felt this before in all my years of learning about healing and everything, never felt this. Heat go down my back, and literally it evaporated. It was gone. It was amazing. I'd never experienced that before, and it was kind of weird at first because I was sitting there thinking, am I not in pain anymore? I just felt heat. What just happened? And I started moving around because I want to know that it's the Lord. It's for sure. It's him, and it's really gone, and you're doing it, Jesus, and it's not just my mind. And so it was really him. And then shortly after that, you know, I said, well, there's this other part. It's still coming in Jesus' name. And you know, P&P encouraged us all as we're at the training weekend, learning to flow with the Holy Spirit, learning to stand on what we're preaching, what we're going to the nations for. Stand for it here. Stand for it for yourselves, for your loved ones. Just let's see the Lord do it. Let's see him heal her. So they all gathered around me immediately, laid their hands on me. And then actually Pastor Mary Pat, along with the team, came over and laid her hands on my face where some of the drainage was going on, the sinus stuff. And as soon as she put her hands over my eyes like this, there was like this breath of air. I started to breathe a little bit, and then she took it off and I started sniffing and it lifted dramatically. So there was a significant increase in healing. So just really amazing, like God does that kind of stuff for us, for things that we usually just walk with and don't care, but the Lord wants to heal us of sinus and stuff like that. So
that's really powerful, because this was an example of the Lord's healing for Jamie in a couple different areas in her body that were very specific. And so yesterday when she was feeling so poorly in one area, the Lord touched her, and then today he touched her again, but using different ways. So when she was in the presence of God and she had this feeling of the power of the Lord just working through her, she said that was new for her to have something where no one prayed for her directly. But then we asked her, well, what else is going? Because she had mentioned there was a little bit more. And so it just is another example of the character of our Father, who doesn't want to do things halfway. He doesn't want to keeps things in an unfinished place, right? So he wanted Jamie to feel the freedom, but he was using a different way. So the whole team gathered around. But what so encouraged me was that it didn't take more than a suggestion of, hey, let's see what God will do and finish this. And the team just kind of swarmed her. And I love that. And there was a good testimony. And then when he spoke to my heart and said, put your hands right here, then that brought something else. And so if we're listening to the Spirit of God, he's going to do something for us. And I really believe, even right now, I really believe God wants to do something in the area of healing, even in the middle of worship, in the middle of testimony. So if you're not feeling physically strong right now, if you're not feeling physically strong, we want to pray for you right now in the middle of worship, in the middle of testimony, especially since Jamie had mentioned that. So let's hear what Don has to say too.
Well, Bryce graduated this weekend. I'm so proud. I got three children, and I've lived to see all three of them graduate. I was so happy. At the same time that he was graduating, I was in the emergency room. Really bad stomach pains. It was like burning. I thought it was my appendix. I didn't know what it was. A gallbladder or something. It was so bad. And I told him, I said, I really want to make it to my baby's graduation. And the doctors, they couldn't find anything. So they sent me home, and I got to go to his graduation. And I'm just more blessings. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Are you feeling strong now?
I feel better.
She feels better, but you prayed for this morning?
Stomach problem is in here. The side effects is coming from the medicine, because it gives you a headache.
Well, Lord, we just bless Dawn right now. We're just going to pray for you right now. So we extend our hands to Dawn and to Bryce. And we say thank you, Lord, for starting that good work in her. And, Lord, just bring it to completion, Lord, that there wouldn't be any pain in her sinuses. There wouldn't be any headache. There wouldn't be any problem at all. I just thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching Dawn right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, guys. Thank you for helping, Dawn. Can someone get a blanket cover up? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're okay, Dawn. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Lord. We don't push people down. So sometimes that happens. So if you're sitting out here and you're in front line, don't wait to be asked. Get out of your seat and come and stand behind someone so we don't have a problem like that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Finish the work for Dawn. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to pray for her. Jamie, that would be good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mike, you can help there. It'd be great. Thank you, Holy Spirit. just do what you would do at home. This is what you would come over, right? That's what we know to do. But I want to show you two pictures up here. Andy's going to put those up. Those of you who know, and we'll be sharing about the India trip later, but this is more of a testimony for Pastor Jacob and Basha. Do you have that picture you can put up? Okay. Pastor, I just got a picture from Ina that Pastor Jacob, as you know, in India, in Nagaland, was taken out of the hospital. He was put in the hospital because of torture for his faith. But he was sent back to prison because it was so painful for him to be in the hospital because he was tied down or chained down because they said he was criminal. But of course, he's done nothing. He's totally innocent. And he's been, again, in prison for his faith. He's a strong, powerful pastor in the area. So that was happening in India when we were there. So I just got a picture this morning that Pastor Jacob was sent back to the hospital. And it was a picture of Basha up on the bed next to her daddy for the first time in her life to be able to do this that I'm aware of, unless she was there last time he was tortured and put in a hospital. But we want to put that picture up. We got that. So that would be Jacob's birthday also during the day. It's nighttime there now, but today is his birthday. So we're hoping that we can talk tomorrow on his birthday. And there's a picture coming with Basha and Pastor Jacob. So we know that he's been in prison for 3 years for his faith, for being charged for human trafficking and things like that. That, of course, he's done just the opposite. He's rescued kids for years and years. So this is just an attempt to get him out of the picture. So, Lord, we just lift up Pastor Jacob right now. We celebrate his birthday, and we celebrate him right there with Basha. In Jesus' name, he does still have the handcuffs on, but there's his daughter. Let this be a prophetic picture of the release that's coming, for tomorrow he goes back to jail. But I thank you, Lord, that you put everything in place to free him, to bring the freedom for him, Lord. We just speak to this mountain, and we tell it to be removed. We command it to be removed and to be cast in the sea. And Father, you say that we'll have those things that we say, and they shall come to pass. So, Lord, we just apply your word for freedom so Jacob will be able to be home with his daughter and everything would be cleared so your name would be glorified. Thank you, Lord, that Ina has the strength to go for this, Father, and to stand until the full release of her husband. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be family with this family. And, Father, our prayers, we believe you're hearing from heaven. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. We speak freedom now to the captives, freedom for Pastor Jacob, freedom now, freedom now, freedom now, and that everything would be in place, God, that you'd open the prison doors and set the captives free. Every judicial thing that needs to come into play, Father, we stand in the heavenlies and we bring down the release from the heavenlies. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. We say to you, you are the chain breaker. You are the one that gives freedom. In you, Jesus, there is freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed, free indeed. And you can free others, yes, if you're free. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We celebrate your freedom. We celebrate breaking of chains, Lord, across the earth and right here at Frontline, God. We give you honor. We know who the chain breaker is, and we bow before you, Lord. And say, search us, O God, and know our heart. Try us and know our anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting, Lord. Search me. Try me. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Well, to those who I haven't seen for a month. Hello, we're back. God bless you guys. I've seen most everybody, but some people haven't seen since our plane was detained last weekend in Mumbai, India. And so we didn't get back until Monday. So Andy preached. Thank you, Andy. I'm sure it was awesome. And we saw some of you on Tuesday, but praise the Lord. We've been seeing a lot of other people since, and we had mission training weekend. We're still in the middle of that, which has been great for the team going to Mozambique in July. So thank God for that. So many things. We shared a lot about the first part of our trip to India. We shared about Delhi. It seemed like we were on two different mission trips by going to two regions. Jacob, who you saw up here, his wife, Ina, and Basha, the little girl that you saw, the little two-year-old, we brought them in. We flew them in from Jaipur, India, which is in the northeast area of India. We flew them into Delhi, and we spent the weekend with them, which was really nice. And you can put that picture up if you want. We shared a lot about the Delhi side of things, which was incredible on Tuesday at Fire and Wind. And today we wanted to take a little journey into the Rajahmundry realm of the trip, which was very powerful. And the reason that we spend time doing this, and it went taking 2 nights or 2 days to do that, is because we really feel that God's increasing things around the world, and he wants to touch us in the midst of that. So we want to give him glory, we want to testify, and we want to say, Lord, we want to be counted in what you're doing in revival around the world, what you're doing, what you're positioning us for the more, what that looks like. If we can't see beyond the ones who are right here, if we can't see and see what God wants to do with that, then we're very limited in our thinking, and we don't want to be limited at all. But I do know that God touched Rajahmundry area very powerfully, and some of the Delhi testimonies will probably spill into that. So we're going to have, I know Carly and Lawrence put something together, so if you wanted to take the lead on that, don't really know what that something is. So if you want to start, we can jump in. That would be great.
I'm back. So Tuesday, is that your claps? Okay. So wonderful to be back. So we got a chance to share a little bit on Tuesday about everything that happened in Delhi. If you guys weren't there, I'm sure we recorded it, but just awesome, awesome trip. The people in India are absolutely amazing. And I was going to open up with a different clip today, but I didn't set it up. But if you guys have ever seen, anybody ever see the movie Elf? You know the part where he comes into the board? I'm in love, and I don't care who knows about it. That's kind of how I felt when I, by day 4 into India. Like, I was just kind of like, oh my gosh. Everything here is amazing and wonderful, and the people are so beautiful, and Jesus loves every one of them, and he wants to just bless every one of them. So that was the beginning of the trip for me. You know, by like day 5, it took me 5 days of getting like saturated with God's love for India to get like half as far as Carly was when we got there. I was fortunate enough to be sitting next to her on the plane going there. I said fortunate enough. And fortunately, I was, you know, I'm in pretty good health. So when she, like every 5 minutes, she, we're going to India! And so I'm just kind of going like this on the plane. And everybody's just kind of staring around looking at the crazy people. But It was so much fun just to see God's passion and desire for everything that he was doing. But Rajahmundry, that's where, if you're not aware, we have a children's home there. It's called the Frontline Children's, is it home or center? Center, home center. Frontline Children's Home, yes. There are currently 23 kids there, and they are amazing. Do we have the picture of when we were welcomed from the airport? I think that would be a great way to introduce what happened. So we flew from Delhi. We said goodbye to Pastor Rohit, who's just an awesome, hilarious man of God. We flew to Hyderabad, and then we flew into Rajahmundry. It's you know, like smaller than Akron Canton. And so we flew in. We're getting our bags, and you know, those who had been there before, which was everybody except me, was just giving me a heads up of what to expect. And there are really no words to describe or to build expectation or to prepare you for what you're about to experience. It's much like having a child. You can read books, people can tell you about the experience, but there's just really nothing to prepare you for what happens. So we got our bags, and Troy's looking out there, and he goes, "Oh, I see them." And I go, "Oh, this is going to be fun." And so we start walking outside, and this is what we're welcome to from all of these wonderful children in the center. So there's 23 of them. I got to meet the child that we sponsor. Her name's Pravalika. She's like 4 inches taller than me. But it's so cool to get a chance to. I know a lot of you guys sponsor the children here, but it's so cool to get an opportunity to actually meet them. So this was the welcoming that we received from the children. They always do something different to welcome us, and I don't know if there's any way to zoom in so you can tell what that picture is. But if you can't tell, the children were so excited to have Papa Bill and Mama Mary Pat that that's cut out of their faces. So all the boys are wearing a face of Pastor Bill, and all the girls are wearing Pastor Mary Pat's face. And so we got lots of chances to, the greeting there took like 30, 40 minutes. So we got a bunch of pictures with the masks, and then they welcome you with these flowers and lots of hugs and more flowers. And then I think by the end of it, we were actually kind of helping Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat stand under the weight of the glory of the flowers. So the whole trip, and we talked a little bit about this Tuesday, about different things that we've seen the Lord touching people. And we started to see in when we were doing different ministry opportunities in Delhi where the Lord was just pouring out His Spirit. People were being baptized in the Spirit. And we started to see that break forth. And that was really kind of a foreshadowing of what we saw the Lord do in Rajahmundry to an even greater level. So, you know, we got to spend a little bit of time in the children's home with them. And then we got a chance to do ministry out in different villages. But one of the coolest things, can I share my village testimony and then you guys want to? Okay. So I had an opportunity to go out. There were several ministry opportunities in Rajahmundry, and the team was kind of getting thrown everywhere, which was really cool to see how hungry people were. But there was one day that I went out to a village with Pastor Dewa and Pastor Prabhaka, the two brothers. And I got out there, and it was a day of celebration. And so in India, they celebrate different things that we would not celebrate in America. And so they were having a celebration for a young lady, and the whole village was invited. And I went out there, and we were going to speak to the pastors. And so there was a group of pastors that I got an opportunity just to share the Father's heart with, and about you know, the inheritance that we have as sons and daughters. And as I was speaking, there was a large tent about 100 yards away, you know, it probably big enough to hold 100 plus people, so not like a little tent, but decent canopy size. And so I'm just sharing about God's presence and His love. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of people just kind of go up and look like this. And so I look over, and outside of the side windows, I see this huge gust of wind pick up the tent, like literally just up, and then it comes crashing down. And then all of a sudden, it starts, a big gust of wind, and then all of a sudden it starts raining, and everybody just kind of scatters. And this was just as I was wrapping up, you know, sharing with all the pastors, and I was sharing about God's presence, and it took me to Acts where, you know, Paul and Silas are crying out in the earthquakes, and the gates open up. And so I'm just looking at that, and I'm watching that. Well, I found out later that apparently one of the pastors asked if we can come and share with the whole group in the tent, and because they had progressed into the other part of their celebration, which is just a lot of drinking, they weren't really interested in having us share anything. And so they were all laughing because they're like, they didn't want us to come, and then as you were finishing up, the whole tent just blew over and everybody scattered. So it was just kind of fun to watch everybody enjoying what that looked like for them. But the coolest part of that day, for I had a time of ministry, and I don't know if we have a picture of the girl. Did I send you guys the, do we have the picture of the lady that we prayed with? At the end of sharing, I had a corporate time of healing, and I encouraged everybody just to lay their hands on whatever body part they were feeling that was feeling sick. And I really had it on my heart, because a lot of times they'll want the special foreigner to lay hands on them. And so I just really had it on my heart to encourage them, like, the power comes from what you carry on the inside, which is Jesus. And so I told them, just lay your hands on whatever body part was hurting, and I will pray. And it was a very simple prayer. I just blessed them. I asked in Jesus' name that they would release the healing for whatever sickness it was. And I asked, I said, is there anybody who's feeling any different? And one person, you know, they all go like this, which I still do today. I've been in a couple meetings at work and have been caught just doing that. And so they said, you know, yes, and then one person shared about a headache. But honestly, as soon as I wrapped up the prayer and I asked if they all kind of, they said yes, and then they all just kind of scattered. I don't know if it was because of the rain or whatever, but they said yes, and they all left. And so we had lunch, and then as we're leaving, the pastor's wife said, oh, there's one lady who's been very sick. She had some stomach problems. And so they went and got her, and it was one of the ladies that was a part of the meeting. And I thought, okay, well, she said that she was healed before, but it may have been a headache. And so they were saying that she was doing some manual work on the road about 2 weeks prior, and she hurt something pretty bad in her stomach, and it had caused like a growth or a pain. And I said, okay, well, we can pray for her. So they brought her back, and when we brought her inside to sit down, she refused to sit. And I thought, that's kind of weird. So she started talking, and apparently she said what had happened. She didn't want us to pray because she had already been healed. And what had happened, she said, during the time of corporate prayer, she had laid hands on her stomach. She'd felt an electric shock in her stomach, and all the pain was gone. And so I'm sitting there, like, this was one of the coolest things about this trip. And if you guys have been overseas, you know, like, we see God do great, amazing things all the time. But it seems like sometimes when they're testifying of God doing something, it's so monotone. Like, you just kind of have to receive it by faith. They're like, yes, I've had back pains for 2 years, and now I'm healed. You're like, should you be crying or jumping or something? Like, something that, like, is a little bit more American, like, or, but there were so many times that in India I saw where people, like, this, like, I knew that it was real, because she wouldn't even let us pray for her again, because she's like, no, I'm healed. She's like, she's like, in a joyful way, she's like, don't touch me, I'm already healed. And there were so many times that people, like, you could see them, like, overcome with joy at receiving a healing. And I saw women crying. I saw men, like, joyfully jumping and laughing. There was another lady I saw, an older lady praying. She said her knees were healed, and then she just started going like this real quick, like that. And then, like, I'm laughing, and then she just starts crying because, like, she just felt God's love in his presence. So it was really so much fun to see how God was touching them and how visibly moved they were to be touched by the power of God. And so it's been an amazing trip. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm going to have Troy come up and share. Do we want to share about the children? There are some videos. Okay, we have some videos that we're going to show of stuff. We're going to show the children last, right? Because that was so awesome.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to be back here with you all. But it's true, I was so excited to go back to India. I absolutely love it, and Lawrence's testimony is evidence that it wasn't just me falling in love with India last year, it's just the country has something about it, so, and the people, and it's amazing. So everyone, please come to India, as your sponsor children would say. They all really want to meet their sponsors. So just to go off of what Lawrence was saying as far as the healings, that, I mean, it was absolutely, absolutely incredible. We saw a number of really amazing healings in New Delhi. We shared some of that on Tuesday. But then in Rajahmundry, we have pictures and videos because me talking about it just can't do it justice. But when we go to Rajahmundry, we typically go and visit leper colonies and pray for the people. And over the years, we've seen leprosy dry up. And every year that we've gone back, there's been improvements in the people and really amazing things. For the first time ever this year, Pastor Dewa and Sunitha arranged to bring the lepers to their church with the children being there also to serve them. So we typically serve them a meal, a banquet. So this time we actually brought them out of the leper colony and to the church for the first time ever, and got to serve them a meal, and our Rajahmundry kids were all helping to serve the meal, and that was just really special and precious, just to see them, you know, being welcomed in that way. And then we also had an opportunity to pray for them for healing. So before lunch, Pastor Mary Pat gave a call, you know, is there anyone here that has open leprosy, as it, like, it's where open wounds are seeping, and it was actually just one or two people that raised their hands for that, and we prayed, and one woman came up afterwards and said, yeah, you know, I had an open wound, and now it's closed, right there after the prayer. So that was really, really incredible. And we were like, wow, thank you, Lord. And that was just a corporate prayer, like over, you know, we didn't specifically go to that woman and lay hands on her or anything. It was just, in that moment, Pastor Mary Pat felt to just release that. No, that's actually not her. But we don't have a picture of her for today. So after lunch, then again, Pastor Mary Pat asked, you know, is there anyone else that wants more healing, that wants to see their digits restored? Because leprosy is a really horrible disease. They lose fingers and toes and sometimes arms and legs and things. And after lunch, you know, a lot of them seemed like, okay, we you know, got prayer, where we ate, and now we're ready to go. But there were a few when Pastor Mary Pat said, you know, God is in this place. He's still moving. He still wants to touch you. I believe he wants to do more healing. Is there anyone else that, you know, wants to see a greater measure of healing? And there were just a few women that came up, and this is one of them. She was, in addition to having leprosy, in her right ear, she was deaf since birth. And in her left ear, she had significant hearing loss and a lot of pain. And so Pastor Mary Pat prayed for her. And after the prayer, we covered her ear that had partial hearing loss. And she was able to hear out of her completely deaf ear. And she said also the pain completely went away in her other ear and all of her hearing was restored. So completely healed in both ears. As you can see, she was really, really touched. She started crying, and there's another picture. Every time Pastor Mary Pat would just put her hand on the woman's ear to pray for her, she would just, but there's a picture of it, yeah. She would just, like, cuddle up next to Pastor Mary Pat, just, like, receiving the healing, but also just receiving the love. And she shared with us afterwards part of the emotional response. Not only was the healing, but she said that her whole family had left her. They had deserted her because of the, you know, the diseases and conditions that she had. So this healing to her really brought healing to her heart, because she said, now I know I'm not alone. I know that God is with me, and that he cares about me, and that he loves me. So that was really, really precious. In addition to this, there was a woman there that Then there's a picture of her also. Her right eye, her left eye, one of her eyes, there was no fully formed eyeball. And so she wasn't able to see out of it at all. And yes, there she is. So it was her left eye. And again, after prayer, we covered up her eye that was functioning, and she said she was able to see for the first time. It was also since birth that she, and there was no, we didn't see a change, as in we didn't see a forming of the eyeball, but she still had her other eye completely covered and said she could see where there was no eyeball. So it was absolutely incredible. She was also, you know, really, really touched and smiling and excited about it, of course, as we all were. And then there was another woman who, this one we actually have a video of, and I'll let the video speak for itself, the frozen hand. So for 36
so
years,
Lord, heal this woman her hand is frozen like this. The work that you've started.
So as that last caption said, for the first time in 36 years, she was able to hold on to something. And as she was so thrilled, she started going around to all the other lepers, all her friends, and showing them what God had just done. It was absolutely amazing. And then we have another video. The next day, we were at a pastor's conference out in the village of Chintaluru, and I had the opportunity to share these testimonies that we had just seen, and then we prayed for a woman who came up, and her arm, she had been in an accident, and she wasn't able to to move her arm or put her arm behind her like this at all in a year, and there's a video of that also.
Please, Pastor, have her tell her story again. Ask her to say it again and tell it.
Hello, sir. Hello, again. Hello, again. Hello, again. Hello, again. Hello, again. She was fell down on her back, and this hand was finding like anything, and she was every time she was not able to, you know, put her hand to the back. She was just praying and asking the Lord, because she tried many times, but now doesn't work now. But today while Madam was praying, she agreed with her, and all of a sudden there is no pain and she got relieved of everything.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. The healings definitely didn't stop there. The next day actually had a pastor's conference back in Rajahmundry, and that whole day was really incredible. The children were there for it for much of the day, and a number of pastors came in from the villages that Pastor Dewa and Sunitha go out to, and you know, they all came in to the church for a one-day pastor's conference there. And at the end of the day, Pastor Mary Pat really had it on her heart to share about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And then she washed the feet of Pastor Dewa, Sunitha, and his brothers, Pastor Prabhaka, and Pastor Chinny, and their wives, Rosie and Sumati. So here's pictures of that. It was just really a precious time. They were all really, really touched. And then all of the pastors together washed the feet of all of the pastors that were in attendance. And as you can see, our Rajahmundry kids were standing by. They were the ones bringing new water and giving their own towels to dry the feet of these pastors. And so that was really beautiful to see everyone just working together. And it was really, as they washed the feet, they also released prophetic words. Pastor Mary Pat spoke over each of the pastors, and then they got to speak into all of the pastors that came. So for some of them, it was really, and then they washed Pastor Mary Pat's feet at the end, and also all of the brothers and their wives washed each other's feet, and a lot of tears were shed. It was really just a restorative work, and God was just doing a lot of things in the hearts of everyone there. It was really hard for some of them to receive. They are so used to serving. You know, the culture in India is people come and you feed them and you give them everything that you have, and they're so used to serving that especially for some of the women, it was difficult when we said, you know, no, sit down. When Pastor Mary Pat said, sit down, I want to wash your feet. No. But you know, she insisted, this is a demonstration of God's heart and his love for you, and what we can do as servant leaders. And so eventually they all were willing to receive that blessing, and it was really just a beautiful thing to watch. Then right after this, there were more amazing healings, which we also have videos of.
This lady just had a tumor in her leg. 5 years?
She had a tumor in her leg for 5 years.
Like this big?
In the pediatric medicine? Yes.
And I just prayed for her, and it instantly dissolved. My hand over there, she's crying, and the pain was gone, and it instantly dissolved. Is that true?
Is that true?
Oh.
So did everyone catch that? 5 years she had a tumor on her leg that was this big. Pastor Mary Pat said a really simple prayer. She took her hand off and asked the woman if she felt a change. And she's like, yeah, I felt something. You know, I think it's softer. And then when she actually went to feel it, she said, no, it's gone completely. And then Pastor Mary Pat was able to feel also that it was no longer there. So that was really amazing. And then one more. Yeah, praise God. One more from the same conference. If you can skip to 3:30, the first 3 minutes and 30 seconds is him telling it in Telugu.
In the microphone.
He's not feeling for many months, and he was taken to the hospital in a very critical condition, and the doctor said that he would die. But still, they took him to the hospital, and the doctor did the treatment, and he was good at that time. But he's having pain in his body. He has undergone dialysis, and the doctors operated in his arm and kept a small machine which purifies his blood. But still, he's having the pain in his body. So with that weakness only, he came to the pastor's conference, and he was about to leave. But when Pastor Mary Pat is praying for her, for everyone, he came to Pastor Mary Pat, and got prayed by her, and then he fell down. And after he got down, he shared with her that all the pain and weakness left his body, and he's doing good now.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It would be good for Pastor Prasad.
So again, just to make sure you caught that, for at least many months he had significant pain in his kidneys, and went to the hospital for it, and they said it's kidney failure. They did dialysis, but there was no change, and then they told him, there's nothing else we can do for you. You're going to die. And so he had left the hospital, and shortly after came to the pastor's conference. As Pastor Mary Pat prayed for him, he went down in the spirit. And then all of our Rajamundry kids, and Troy, were you the one that was praying for him, or is that Lawrence? Lawrence and all of our Rajamundry kids gathered around him on the ground and continued to pray over him, which was really amazing. And he got up afterwards and said all of the pain had left completely, and he was going to go back to the hospital to have it checked, but he was believing that he was totally healed. So it was... Oh, thank you, Jesus. It was amazing. I mean, this was every, like, consecutive days. We just continued to see these things. Had some really awesome opportunities to bring our Rajamundry kids into healing for people. They witnessed it. They got to see the testimonies. They were right there when these things took place. And then later in the week, as we went out to some of the villages and some of the older ones came with us just to be helping hands, they also got to, we just said, hey, you know, we need your help. Come pray for these people. And so it was really awesome to see them, their faith increase, and them rise up in that, recognizing that they, you know, they can pray for people and see them get healed, and they did. So it was amazing.
Hello, everyone. It, as they said, what more can you say? It was an amazing trip. There are 100 plus pictures on the website that you can go through and just see all the amazing testimonies. And as Carly said, and Lawrence, I mean, there's just so many healings, but along the way, there are so many salvations, so many Hindus that said yes to Jesus in Delhi, in Rajamundry, in that area, in different places out in the villages, in the city. It was really pretty cool. Our other group of contacts that we're working with in Rajamundry, Pastor Abraham and Pastor Andrew, have a ministry about an hour and a half away from the city of Rajamundry. So we kind of did a lot of splitting up, as someone said earlier, and we went out there and we did a couple-day pastor's conference there, and had an opportunity to do... You just never know what will happen in India. They say you're going to do one thing, and then a totally different thing happens. So we went out to one village, and as you know, Pastor Bill was preaching and ministering, and then we had some people get healed, and had some lunch, and then we went down the road to a Hindu temple, and Pastor Bill, there's a picture somewhere in here, Pastor Bill just sharing about Jesus dying on the cross and why he follows Jesus with this Hindu priest. And it was fine. They both were the same age, And Pastor Bill looked about 15 years younger. I have to say, you really did. Jesus wears well with his life, you know? But anyways, it was just neat getting those opportunities, and then you know, we would go out for, they call it cottage prayer meetings, which would be meeting in a believer's house, and different neighbors would come, and people to hear the gospel, to get prayed for, or just be encouraged, various events. And so one night, Pastor Bill and I were ready to go to one, and as we go, it's not a cottage prayer meeting, it's a full-on revival meeting and crusade. Instead of, you know, 20, 30, 40 people, it's like 250, 300 people. There's lights, there's sound, there's, you know, rain, and send some of that to Mozambique. And but as Pastor Bill just was sharing there, you know, just sharing the gospel and just sharing about who Jesus is to us, and just the how he meets every single need and how he's there for us, 10 Hindus stood up to receive the Lord, because they'll come out for these meetings, even though it's a Christian revival meeting, they'll come out for these meetings. And so just incredible seeing these hearts, and just so quick to receive, and just such a sweet spirit as, you know, people were getting saved and healed and all that fun stuff that goes along with that. And then I'm not sure, I didn't know if you want to share about the village where we went to the three different places in the one day, or whether you wanted to share more about that, or, yeah, you, or, I didn't know if you wanted me to, or you too, or, okay. Yeah, we went to the one, we went out with our Rajamundry friends, I'll share. And so we got several, we've got like four of our kids from our children's home, well, three of them, and one of the pastor's sons, Cherry, who helped us a lot with translating. And we go out an hour and a half or whatever drive out through the roads into this village, and it's up on a mountain somewhere, and I don't remember the name, Acham, might have been Acham something or other. It's on the pictures. It's hard to keep track of them. But we get to the first one, and as, you know, we're ministering, and Pastor Mary Patch is preaching on the presence of God and the power of God and Holy Spirit and everything, four Hindu ladies stood up to receive the Lord. And then there was just a release of Holy Spirit, and a few people, you know, just got touched by the Lord, and, you know, Holy Spirit was falling on them, and started praying in tongues, some of them, and all that kind of fun stuff. Well, we went from there to the next little village that was just around the corner, and the Lord led a different way, and we went into more of like soaking and having themselves lay down and just get in the Lord's presence and say, Lord, speak to me, you know, what, and they, a couple of them shared about some pictures and things the Lord showed them that were just, it was Holy Spirit. So it's fun to see that in the middle of, you know, there's no power, we're just in the middle of nowhere, there's pump water, and, you know, it's an adventure. It's a privilege to get to be out there. And, you know, so we, yes, this guy. So this guy, he had a tumor in his stomach for 10 years, and as we prayed for him, he said it suddenly felt soft, and just seemed to start shrinking down. And then he was, and we haven't heard back yet, but he was gonna, there are some other ways he could tell more clearly if it was fully gone that he couldn't do right there with us. So he was gonna get back to us on that and talk to the pastors when they go out there again and let them know what the result is of that. But he had it for, was it 10 or 5? It was 10? Okay. So this is where we're just in the, you know, just sharing about being in the Lord's presence and seeking him. And so then from here, we went just around the corner again. And I don't know if there's a photo of that's coming. But we're in this little tiny church. People are just crunched in. And it's, of course, nice and cool and breezy. It's India. It's like 100, 110. Just, you know, the breeze of the fan that's not present going through the building. And it was not the oil of the Lord. It was my sweat. But it's just such precious people. As we just shared a simple word and began to, again, kind of like the first village, Pastor Mary Pat was really releasing the presence of God and sharing about that. And people started getting touched. And one of them was one of our kids, Ashok, the older Ashok, just really got touched by the Lord and brought him and a couple of the other boys over, and we started praying for people. They became one of our prayer ministry teams, and just started praying for people, and they just started getting healed as our kids were laying hands on them. So it's exciting to see our young ones that are, I guess they're like 14, 15, 18, and 11, Cherry, getting to participate that and see that and have their faith build up and increase there. So really a neat day that just kind of segued into, through that week, we had more and more cool releases. So thank you for your support and your prayers, and it was, again, an amazing trip.
I think we have, yeah, it's an awesome team we had. Pastor Bull share in a minute. It was a very intense trip. We needed to remain focused yet relaxed in resting in the Lord. So when we had the time at the pastor's conference where I was washing the feet, I was just telling our team at lunch, I said, you know, just really sensed the Lord speaking to me about foot washing. And they said, well, do you want us to be ready for something like that? And I said, I don't really know. I'm just going to get up there and finish the second session and see where God takes it. So just kind of be ready. I said, I know there's buckets in the bathrooms, so you guys figure it out. And so they got together with, I kind of gave them the word while I was preaching, and they got together with the kids from the children's home. And it was just a big team trying to put all this together. It was really cool like that. But let me share something that's not on the website. It's, you know, it's kind of a random, but it was a God thing. Right at the end of the first session of that one pastor's conference, we were washing the feet, I noticed, actually in the beginning of it, I noticed a real kind of scraggly looking guy that looks like a person we might see on the streets called a homeless person or something like that. So he looked disheveled and all that. And so this is an African or Indian pastor's conference. So he walks in the back and he stands in the back. Well, I noticed him when I was preaching. And I thought, I really want to see that guy. I want to connect with him. He doesn't fit here, typically, you know, he just looked like he wasn't part of the pastors that we had been supporting. And so Lawrence was watching him. And then at the end, we were going to feed all the pastors. And he walked up and he stood really close. And I went over to him and I just talked to him a little bit. And he started saying, I've really done some bad things in my life. And I really have been a bad person. It just broke my heart. So we wanted to feed him. And somebody said, do you want to get a picture with him? I said, I don't want to get a picture with him. It's not a photo op. You know, they meant well. But it was like, what? No, this is a God thing. All of this is. And so we fed him lunch and he sat with the pastors. So when we came back, I was looking for him. So I was starting to preach again. And I was looking for him and he wasn't there. And it really hurt my heart. It's like, Lord, I know that you brought him here and I know you want to do something with him. So I was praying and I said, Lord, I want to see him again. So it was a couple days later, we'd finished some session somewhere right across from the children's home. And he walked up. And I just was like, oh my gosh. Well, when somebody looks unusual, it's typical for kids sometimes to make fun or somebody says something out of their mind. Kids might do that, possibly. So some of that was going on, and I just really said, hey, guys, let's not go there. So when I talked to him, and he remembered a younger version, I don't know how many years ago, but he said he remembered a white lady who looked like me praying for him a long time ago. That's what he said. But people were saying, you know, he's not in his right mind, and he's been drinking and all that kind of stuff. But it seemed like the Lord just stopped for the one person. The Lord stopped right at that moment, and just nothing else mattered. Dinner with Suni and the gang didn't matter. Nothing else mattered. And I just wanted to connect with him, and I spoke over him, and I just called his mind back. And I said, I want to speak with the real Ramadu, was his name. I want to speak with the real Ramadu. He's a real person who has real identity, has a real future. And he's living at the Hindu temples. And so when that happened, his eyes connected with my eyes. And I began to tell him about Jesus. And he said, well, at the very beginning, he says, I'm really hungry. And I said, we'll give you money. We're going to pay for your food. So just chill on that. Don't worry about it. And he relaxed. And said, I just want to talk to you. So I was able to talk to him, and I was able to tell him about Jesus and offer him Christ and offer him, I believe his mind came back for however long. I hope it's forever. I don't know. But he responded to Jesus right in the alleyway. He gave his life to the Lord right there. And I just felt that Jesus showed up. Jesus was saying, and I told the pastors, I said, this is who we are. This is why we're here, all of us. We can do a conference. We can go to a village. We can see all these healings, all of that. But if we can't see the one right in front of us, we need to have eyes. We need to have eyes of release. So turns out that he has occasionally visited that church, but he stays for worship and leaves. So I said, well, now he's got a reason. You can go after him and see what God wants to do with him. But those are the kinds of things that I don't have a picture for or anything else, but it's just imprinted on my heart. Oh, well, they did get a picture, okay. And this is Ramadou, who gave his life to Jesus in the alley, and it was dark, and it was after some meeting that we had. Isn't that cool? That God, he cares about every one of us so much, and he cares about our needs. He cares that we have a tumor. He cares that we have kidney failure. He cares about all these things, and he's just saying, will you just believe me and trust me? Just believe. If you say with God, all things are possible, just believe it. Just believe it. And we went with that simple faith, and we saw these amazing miracles, and you're just hearing about some of them. But just believe it. And Ramadou up here, he's got a future. Look at that. He was on his way somewhere else, right? And God saved him right there in the spot. So I'm following up with Rajamundry people and finding out what's going on. Even the guy was in the bathroom a few minutes ago. And I said, I heard something about 10 years. They said, they had a picture of a guy who had a tumor for 10 years in his stomach. Well, I used that with a relative of a relative this week. And I said, I'm following up, but that person said that it softened. So I texted Rajamundry and I said, can you find out? It's a pastor of the village, and he's had this tumor in his stomach. But you go with, God, you've done all these other things. Why not here? Why not now? Why can't we do that here? Why can't Dawn get totally healed? There is such a healing anointing on this body of people. And there's been such an attempt for the enemy to stop it. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear that God's doing things today. But he really is, and he wants that to increase because that demonstrates his power. It demonstrates his love. It's healing is in the atonement. It's not that we're focused on healing more than salvation. That's the farthest thing from the truth. We saw scores of people give their lives to Jesus, whether it's one in an alley or a big meeting or a tent turning upside down. And so the last night we were there, the last 2 days we spent with the kids, and we're looking into possibly increasing that. Right now there's 23, and we have lots of things that we're looking at to see what will be the next step to increase our effectiveness there, numbers of people, but also the spiritual effectiveness with the people there. And one thing that we love about this children's home that seems to be the DNA here is that we start out small, okay, but we want to go low, and we were trying to impart to the kids, this is not about us sending money and you get to have free schooling and get your needs met alone. We do all those kinds of things. But we want to see you become powerful frontline warriors, harvesters, forerunners. That's what we want to see. That's why we're doing this also. It's not, God says, go take care of the poor. Go take care of the children and the widows. And we're doing that. Go take care of the lepers. But in the midst of that, demonstrate my power, demonstrate my kingdom. Raise up these people who will partner with us in the last days. I was saying to the kids, you guys want to go to Africa? Yeah. Learn some English. That will help, you know. I don't speak Hindi over there or Telugu as easily. So, you know, we're looking into things like that. We're looking into micro-enterprise opportunities. We said, Lord, we're involved in human trafficking here, fighting that, and in some countries around the world as well. So, Lord, open up the gate for us for Delhi this year. And he did, supernaturally, gave us a new contact. And I've been back and forth with this lady, and the name of her home is Rahab, House of Children's Home of, or what is it? Center for Safety House. Center of Hope, okay. But anyway, it's really cool because she's dealing with 18 and over, and all the kids, I mean, they look like they're 12 and 14, okay? They've been malnourished. They've been in brothels. It's really rough. But we got to meet them, and we got to go there, and we're connected, and the life connection with them, it's a divine connection from God, and it's seen not just by us but by them. It's so cool. And all of them got saved. Every one of them got saved. We had opportunity to spend time with them, minister to them, after only meeting these people one time. Okay, I mean, that's God. It's awesome. So we've got, they have a micro-enterprise thing. They're just starting here, and they've got some little purses they've made and bags and such, and Ashley's overseeing that for us. She's part of Redemption for Life, which is our human trafficking justice leg of Frontline. And with their $10 a piece, we ask you to buy them so we can sew into what they're doing. They're $10 for those. You can see Ashley with that. But we also want to do that with our own kids. So we were brainstorming, because I want to hear from them. What do you guys want to do? You guys have brains and creativity. You love the Lord. I mean, they are on the edge of their seats. So what do you want to do? Well, I could do this. One kid actually said, I'm not sure which one it was, Carr, said, maybe we could get Bibles. We get new Bibles out. I said, well, let me tell you what they're doing in different parts of the world. He had no idea, with audio Bibles and solar Bibles. And I told him some of that. And maybe he's got the creativity for something new. I don't know. But these are amazing, spirit-led young men and women. We gave them new Bibles and everything and journals and taught them a bunch of stuff. And those of you who have gone before, and some of you are in here today, everything that you've imparted is very important and precious. And God's saying, I want to take it now to another place. It's not saying that wasn't important, but he took it. He just kind of ramped things up on this trip. It was a big ramp. So when we go to Mozambique in July, you can expect a very big ramp for a place that has a famine and drought right now, right? So we're going to pray for that as well. And by the way, if you'd like to contribute to that, there's a basket right up here. There's a famine and drought in Malawi and Mozambique, and we're going right in the middle of it, except we're believing that rain will come before. So that's our belief, and that's what we've been praying for, as Kim said. So that basket up there, if you want to put something in there so we can sow into that, help Pastor Jose, who is taking any monies that he has to live, and he's giving it out to all the villages. You know, some of you have been in villages. Many of you have been in villages, and those very people who've given us rice, which we bought, but they still have fixed things for us. They don't have any food. It's really bad. There's no produce, and it's a whole other story. But that's Mozambique. So God's saying, go to the nations. I'll give you a heart to go to the nations. So let me just complete this part, and then Pastor Bill has some things to share. This is a mat that they put together, the kids, with the reeds to be able to sell. So I was just asking them all kinds of things. What would you like to do? Car, I still need that purple flower from Vanilla. If you have it here, that'd be great. But I want to show that. And this is another thing that one of the boys was making. This is Prem, I believe. Yes, Prem. And he was making something just for fun, and he was showing Pastor Bill a little toys. And it's like, come on. So I said to Suni, we can get you a sewing machine maybe, huh? Anybody want to donate a sewing machine and let the kids start making things? Or they can do leather projects or whatever. But let the kids get involved and do these things. I mean, they are amazing little entrepreneurs. So we're thinking about that as well, as schooling is so important, their spiritual training. But we also would like to help them become self-sufficient in a lot of ways, self-sustaining. There it is. That's the purple flower that Vanilla made me. She says, I just said, go get the things that you guys are making. And they went into their room and they got the little things, and this purple little flower is made out of paper, and it's just cool. And Carly said, we can make a bunch of these for my wedding, so in less than 2 weeks. And so it was just really cool. But the reason I'm going into a lot of this detail is to tell you this: when God speaks, nobody can stop his thunder. When the Lord wants to bring revival, he's going to bring revival. But he's looking for people who will empty themselves. And I'm telling you that Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, this weekend, the impartation from the teams and others, team people and others, was so powerful, so strong. I was wrecked Friday night just listening, okay, to Michelle and Cynthia. And then Rachel came in on Saturday morning. And then Saturday night was Mike McCray and Lawrence. And then this morning was Andy, and with Kim leading worship and others leading worship too. It was just strong. And I could feel the humility increasing in this place. Because I'm telling you, without great humility. Okay, we can have an anointing from God and we can go so far, but we're not going to receive and we're not going to walk in the fullness that he has. He's saying there's just no room for anything but humility and obedience, and that's where I want to go. And so anyway, if you're interested in that, see me, because we have some pretty good teachings that'll wreck your heart. But anyway, in Rajahmundry, the last night, we had been finishing the teaching with the kids, and Pastor Bill and I were involved in Freedom House with some leaders, which was good, and spent a lot of time while the rest of the team was ministering to them, giving prophetic words for each one of the kids and all that kind of stuff. And we felt that, how many of you went to Brazil in January, February? Okay, there was a major outpouring in the city of God, yep. And I believe today, I'm asking, I have to check my phone, that we have our building, I'm trusting, that we have our building that we're purchasing for the Frontline Worship Center in City of God, in the favela, and we've had tons of problems getting the money through, so I'll let you know once I check my phone. But there was an outpouring the last time we were in City of God. It was amazing. These kids were lit on fire and their families, right? Okay, so it's like, God, you want to do this here. You want to do it again. But you don't just want to do it in the children's home. You want to do it in, you want to bring transformation and reformation in the region. Okay, that's our heart. When we go to Mozambique, when we go to these places, we stop for the one, but we want to see the region changed. We want to see something sustainable. It's like, God, we want to see reformation in that place. So we told the kids about all kinds of things. You just led them in various things. And then there was the last thing that we did at midnight, okay, the night we're leaving, morning we were leaving, rather, midnight, said, all right, we're going to increase what God wants to do here with baptism in the Spirit, with speaking in tongues. And we don't come in with rah like this. We're chilling in the power, okay? Because when I was washing the pastor's feet, when the Lord told me to do that, you know what I was preaching on before that? Mary and Martha. There's a whole lot of Marthas going on in the West and in India. Not too many Marys, okay? And the Lord was speaking to all of us, pastors who were receiving all these healings, all of us saying, you know what? We need Marthas. I mean, they're cool. I mean, they're organized and they've got to do the stuff. But they don't know when to stop, and they don't know when to rest, and they don't know when to receive. And Jesus said that Mary chose a better thing. And that's what I was preaching on. And that's what led into washing the feet. And that brought a major shift in the spirit, as well as all these things we're telling you about the healings and salvations and the kids and all of that. Okay, so, and Troy mentioned about Ashok and some of the kids receiving a filling of the spirit. So we prayed at midnight. I don't know what you have on video for that, so you can show it. There you go. Shikaraba. This lasted an hour and a half. An hour and a half, 6 years old, under the power of God. Power of God just went whoosh in the place. It was a holy frenzy in the spirit. Look at that. Holy, divine, sovereign move of God over these kids, just releasing the power of God, breaking through, breaking the chains where they have been abused or they've been abandoned or whatever it would be. The Lord just healed them, strengthened them, overwhelmed them. Look at this. This is just God. Just God. Feast your eyes on this baby, 6 years old. Why not here? Why not now? Just incredible. It just kept going and going till 1:30 in the morning. Holy shikarabababa. Sanamamamama shikarababa. And some of the leaders, you just saw the one man in white. Look at this. Some of the leaders received their prayer language just days before. Everyone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is an outpouring of God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. I mean, these kids, some of them were on the floor. These older ones, that's a shook right there in the front left in the blue. right there. He was walking around and he was trying to help the others in part because he just got lit on fire. And he said, my life has changed forever. So, shakarabha. This is God showing up. I don't know what we're going to do with this, but I mean, it's powerful. Look at this. And I had a vision in the middle of this of a dam in Rajahmundry. Hey! And I saw the dam just crumble down and this water whoosh, rush out. That's what I saw. This is revival in this land. And this is unheard of. This is unprecedented. This is new. I mean, these pastors had never seen anything like this. This was huge. This was amazing. And it was the very last thing as we were ready to leave this region. Is that powerful? Can we give a big shout for Jesus? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. How? Yay! Wow. That's what we're going to see with our own frontline children. That's what we're going to see here. Okay, it does matter what you think, and it matters what you believe. It matters what you believe about the miraculous. It matters where your faith is. It matters. It really does. We can't walk and straddle things. It doesn't work. Things, we're going to continue to crash. We're going to continue to go through and keep repeating cycle after cycle. It matters. It does matter. And I'm telling you, that this is an example of not perfect people, that far from it, but people who want to go so low, who only want to hear what he wants to do at that moment. That's the truth, with imperfection. But I'm telling you, we can all have this and carry it. It's not just for Rajahmundry, okay? After we left this place and we flew out the next morning, that was the day that never ended. We flew up to Mumbai. We get on a plane. In the evening, we left in the morning, we get on a plane in the evening, and we get on there ready to come home, see you guys, and they say, get off the plane. There's been a crash. There's been an airline crash, okay, meaning the plane actually touched down, okay, from Lufthansa. On the runway, we're supposed to take off on. You get this. God is so in charge of this, and he's so watching over his word to perform it. He really is. So this plane comes down, and from what we understand, from what I heard and get, is that the brake system didn't work right. We've talked to tons of people. And so the four tires blew up, okay? And so you can imagine what that does to a plane that just touches down, a jumbo jet. And the tire stuff, what do you call it, rubber, it melts into the tarmac, into the runway, and the runway can't be used. So they tell us, get off the plane. It's like, okay. Lord, is anybody hurt? People are hurt, but they're not killed. And that was from the Exodus, I guess. Or maybe it was from hitting down. I don't know, because we got all kinds of different stories. So we worked with people. We met new people, got to pray with people for healing, things like that. God kept us in Mumbai. We were able to declare from our nice 5-star hotel that United paid for. We got to declare to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. We could see the opulence in Mumbai. We could see the slums. The Lord gave us so much prophetic vision how to take authority. God is saying, if you want to live in the heavenlies, you want to live in the third heaven for real, you can. And live a life like we live. And see things happen and see things change. This is the power of God. And he's saying, I'm looking for the crazy ones who just want to live that way. And I can tell you from personal testimony, it is not simple. It is not easy. And there's pain involved. Lots of it. Oh, well, Jesus is the pain taker, and the pain, he is the one who has suffered more than anybody. But he's the one that we go to for the truth, and he honors a humble heart of truth. He really does. Oh, so we went back to the hotel, and the guys tried to figure out what was going on while Carly and I had tea. It was wonderful. good premarital mama-daughter tea time was fun, and some other things. So we love that part. But anyway, they took us back to the airport, And it was really awesome. We thought we're going to get on the plane the second night. We get on the plane and they send us back again. Now you've got some really angry people. We were not, but they were angry. And we thought, ooh, we are in a foreign country. We'll just kind of step away from that anger pit. And so there are a lot of angry people. So we stayed in Mumbai two nights. I'm still asking God why. I know he protected us. I know he protected the land. I know that he was doing something great and he used us. But there's still more, and I'm still unpacking that. So we didn't get back till Monday. Maybe it's because Andy needed to preach here on Sunday. Maybe that's it, you know. There's probably a lot of different reasons and all that. But I am so excited about what God's doing. And he's saying, I want you to see. I want you to see. Yesterday, Stephanie gave an awesome, encouraging word to our team saying, look, we've got this God who wants to bring money in, okay? And you need to own this. This is your trip. This is something God's doing to send us. And it was strong, and it was intense, and I liked it. It's like, yes, okay, come on. So she's kind of overseeing all that from a financial perspective to help us get there and spend money when we're there, okay, to Mozambique and all that. But I'm telling you, God is saying we need to do this together, because these are the leaders. You're looking at it. You look at each other, the leaders for tomorrow. And more people are going to come in here, and you might say, yeah, well, where are they? I'm not in charge of God, but I'll certainly go see what he's doing and want to cooperate with what he wants to do in India and wherever else it is. So he's in charge of us here, but he is looking for it. I'm telling you, he is looking for obedience and humility. He's looking for openness, and he's going to continue to do what he's going to do in this region. So I'm excited about that. So more people will be coming in. But he wants us to be on the page. We want to see these healings here commonplace. I mean, commonplace, where it's not a special meeting for a healing even. That wherever we go, it's like, boom, boom, we're laying hands on people and they're healed, healed. It's very important. Let me tell you something that happened to me really quickly, and then I'm going to pass this to PB and then. But a week before we left, I was body slammed by my own body. And it was very painful. And I was on a bike with Pastor Bill and went down on the bike flipped, like, on my hip. And those of you who are here know that. So I was on crutches because I went to the hospital and I thought I maybe broke my hip. But I wanted to go to India. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle that I did not have a broken hip. This was not, oh, she can't ride a bike and she kind of slipped on pavement. It wasn't like that, I'm telling you. I went and the front of the tire hit a slippery patch, but the bike, I mean, I'm pretty agile, and this left leg didn't even have time to put down, to brace myself, nothing. It just flipped, and it was like, boom. And it's like this, everybody thought I broke my hip. So anyway, God did something for me. I'm believing that he healed me. I really am. They took me to the hospital in an ambulance and everything else. So it wasn't fun, and it was hard the week before. It's like, I've got to get to India. You know, lost a tooth, other things. It's just, there's a cost to pay. This was not a stupid little, well, you know, things happen. If we don't understand and see things for what they are and know how to stand and fight, then we're foolish. And so anyway, I was able to get on the plane, thank God, had my pillows so that I can be stuffed into a seat, hopefully. But the flight attendant came and took my crutches. I thought, whoa, well, that's a long flight to go to India and not be able to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to figure this out. I could have called her and rang her little buzzer, but I didn't, and I made my way to the back. But Lawrence is having a dream on the plane about me doing what I'm doing at that moment. Hey, I had a dream that you're walking up and down the aisle and you don't have crutches and you're okay. It's like, oh my gosh. But he's speaking to me, okay? And the Lord started to say, I'm going to increase your faith. That's before I touched down, okay? I'm going to increase your faith. I was like, wow, I'm praying in tongues going up and down the aisle on the plane. I don't care. This is God here showing up. I'm increasing your faith. And I got off the plane without the crutches. Okay? But he also told me something else about healing, and that's what I want to say. He spoke to me, and he showed me specific things with people, me and others. He said to me, it's important for you to understand how to pray through. It's important for you to not let go of what God has started. it's important because if people do, they lose what I'm willing to do and what I want to do in healing. It's like, whoa. I mean, when God's talking to you, pay attention. And I heard that, and it's like, God, I don't want to be in that camp. I don't want to be in that boat. I want to see these miracles. I want to see these healings. I want to see more because that's a demonstration of you. And I want to see for everybody in frontline, every place we go, for every person. And I believe the Lord wants to take back what the enemy might have stolen in our understanding of healing, our belief for healing, and the anointing that he wants to release, because there is a corporate anointing here. But it's received in humility. That's how you receive it. That's the truth. And so I had a little bit of about a couple days later when our what do you call that thing, rickshaw, hit a great big ditch and brought some intense pain. So it backed me up a little couple of days, but then I went forward. Once I started praying for the lepers, I had a complete change. When I started praying for them, I wasn't praying for me. When I started praying for them, seeing these miracles, he started healing my hip even more. Isn't that cool? So I am a healed woman in Jesus' name. So.
I'm trying to get Pastor Mary Pat a little bit excited about India and healing. And India is changing. The Spirit of God, they're responding to the Spirit of God more than ever. Our first trip there, it was difficult to get them to express anything towards God, it seemed like, in many cases. But as the years have gone by, it's increased their openness, their hunger. The last night that I went out in ministry in India, I went out an hour and a half to meet with the pastors, and then they took me another hour into the depths of India. And about 9 o'clock, I show up at this place, and I'm thinking, is anyone really, you know, available now, because this was supposed to start much earlier in the evening. But I get there at 9, and we pull up, and the pastors literally ran out to meet me. They had never had a foreign person visit them. And so I get out of the vehicle, and they're literally, they would have carried me into the building. They were so excited that someone would come and share more of Jesus with them. And so normally, when you get there, they'd go through another hour of worship, you know, Indian worship and so on, and you sit at the front and smile at everyone because you can't understand any of the language. But in this case, I walk in, and here is this rather, it's a rather long church, and there were people out the back door looking in, and it was, you know, 9 o'clock at night or so, and people were just so excited. They were on the edge. They were so hungry for what was going to be shared about Jesus. And they put the children up front. Even the children are like little birds waiting to hear what the word of the Lord was. Oh, that we could have that kind of hunger, more and more of that kind of hunger. And so as I began to share in my normal manner, I was sharing a lot of joy and so on with them. The laughter was right from the, you know, depths of who they were. They were ready to laugh. They were ready to receive that good medicine from the Lord. They were ready to enter into more of the joy of the Lord. And so when I brought out the guitar to sing at the end, you would have, I mean, they just leaned forward. They'd never seen a guitar, you know, in a church setting, I don't think. It was way out there somewhere. And they were just so thrilled to have worship come from that instrument, because normally they have, you know, someone singing at the front, and they have a drum that they play, and that's about it. But to bring out a guitar and to sing over them and bless them with the worship of the Lord. What a privilege. They were just so hungry. There was another place that we went. It was in the city, and it was on the top of a building. And that's where their meeting area was. It's a new church plant. And singing in that situation where you're on a microphone, you're singing over the city. It's going, you know, to far, far afield from where you are on top of the building. And you can hear it reverberating off the buildings in downtown Rajahmundry. And people were actually down on the street level coming out from another building to listen because they couldn't make it up the narrow stairway up to the top of the building. So their normal custom was to come to the doorways or just listen where they were because they were physically unable to go up those stairs. And they're down there listening to the worship, listening to the preaching because it was on microphone. The hunger to do that. So we went down and visited them afterwards, prayed for their physical healing and so on afterwards. But India is becoming more and more hungry. The women are becoming more and more confident and powerful in God. They're going to change India because, you know, the men are always going out to the villages and doing all kinds of ministry, but we saw women step up and give testimonies and come to the front and be part of the process. It's such a good thing for the body of Christ in India. The hunger level's increasing. Women are increasing. Worship is increasing. The children ran up to me from the children's home as soon as I arrived, and they started singing to me, "Show us your glory." Now, their English is kind of small. You know, they don't know a lot of English. But they sang the song like I sing the song. I mean, with the inflections, the emphasis that I gave to it. They're singing it back to me. And this is a year later that I sang that song in India. And they knew all the verses. They knew even the things that I added on. They memorized those things. That, you know, the prophetic that I added on to the song, they were singing that back to me. And I'm just like, wow, this is so awesome. And then they sing it to one another, and, you know, they all want to play the guitar. So we, of course, had more of the giving them the guitar and letting them play on the chords. And to do that in villages where they would never touch an instrument, and to see some of the young people and the children come up and play a few chords and just celebrate with them, and the whole group is in awe that one of their own has played a guitar chord and played "The Enemy Is Done," because it's only one chord. You teach them one chord, they know the whole song, and then you start singing with them, and this is a privilege that we have, and we thank you for being part of the team to support. If you didn't go, you still went. Because supporting us to go, prayer and finances and so on, you were part of the team there. We told them everywhere we went that you were praying for them, and the look on their faces. Someone in America is praying for us. Someone in America cares about us. And to let them know that Jesus knows their name, gave them a new name in glory, and that they have a new name, that he's praying over them in heaven, and to give them that revelation that they're important in a village, in a country of 1.2 billion people, and they're out in a little village, but God sees their life. God is paying attention to them. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are valuable to God. He knows your name. He gave you a new name in glory. He has empowered you to do ministry right where you are, and who knows, maybe the nations. And to see them rise up in, you know, that hunger being satisfied. God satisfies our hunger with himself, with who he is. And to see some of that going on with them, what a privilege, what a privilege. So I'm telling you, India is being prepared by the Spirit of God. The hunger is increased. You can hear, you can feel the heartbeat as you worship with them, as you hear them cry out for more. Some of the pastors in some of the pastors' conferences raising their hands up and roaring to God for more. I mean, there's nothing like that roar in India. It has to be coming from the Christian community, hungry for God, and with the idols outside that are dead, you know, stories high, and they can't even protect themselves. They're trying to steal the jewels out of their eyes, and obviously those idols can't protect themselves. But the people being empowered to see healing and deliverance and salvation happen. Everywhere we went, Hindus are hungry too. They're hungry to find Jesus. They've been on a search. It's led nowhere. It's led to stone or wood. But now it seems like it's increasing. Their hunger is increasing. Looking in the windows, peeking in the doors of Christian gatherings, trying to see what's going on, because there's nothing going on in the Hindu temple. It's dead. It's dead. But when they see what is going on, healings, salvation, people with life in their eyes coming into their community, it's amazing what's happening. There's a heartbeat going on. God is preparing India for his return. You can feel it when you're there. You can sense it. You can see it in the people's hunger. So, Father, we thank you, God, for all these reports that we've heard, and there are many, many more that give glory to you. Lord, we know that. Father, we're privileged to go, but we see you preparing the people of India. We see you preparing the people of Mozambique, God, and Brazil, and all the places we're privileged to go, God. We see the heartbeat towards your return increasing, 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 God. The worship going higher, the cry out for the Spirit much more intense, and people receiving that in some cases have been trying to connect with your Spirit in a deeper way for years, and suddenly on this trip it broke loose. Jesus, you're up to something in India. You're up to something in the earth, and we are just privileged to be part of that. We're thankful to be part of that as a body, as a group of people after your heart. And every challenge is going to come our way, and every assault is going to come our way. Are we going to stand? Are we going to stand, Lord? Of course we will. If we connect with you, if we abide in you, if we're obedient to you, we will stand. If we don't abide in you, if we don't obey you, if we don't fall in deeper in love with you, we won't stand. We won't stand despite our biggest statements. We'll fall away. We won't be part of the end time harvest. What a privilege to be part of that, God. Continue to empower us, Lord. Continue to sustain us. Continue to give us the resources, Father. Continue to be our all in all. Continue to humble our hearts, God, that we would go lower, that we would pray with anticipation, God, that we would see Jacob released, Father, that we would see more breakthrough in people's lives, that we would, even the reports of things happening since we've left, God, handle each one of those situations, people coming into the church and needing something, God, from you. And Lord, we're all looking to you to supply, to meet that need with your 700 names and titles. Jesus, you have a name for every need. You have a name for every need, and you're praying. You are praying for them, God. Thank you, Lord. Teach us more. We'll be your learners, your disciples, God. Teach us more. Teach us more. And Father, reveal to us more. Humble our hearts. And we'll continue to go to the nations in your name and in your power, in Jesus' name.
Just feast your eyes on this as you go. But before we do, we want to pray for Joe, if he'd like prayer. We love you, Joe. We're so glad you're here. And if anybody else is not feeling good, if you're not feeling well, can you raise your hand? Peter? Okay. All right. You. Who are you again? Can you just come up front here if you're not feeling well? And we're going to pray for Joe. If that's okay, Nikki and Les? He's good? Okay, just come on up here if you don't feel well. Andy and Lawrence, can you come up and pray for these guys? Just line up, you guys, if you're not feeling well. and we can come back to you, Joe. Would that be best? Can we, Brenda, can you join? Would you be willing? You join these guys praying, okay? Okay, so Andy, Lawrence, are you here? Brenda's going to help you too. We're just going to pray for healing for them. Would you want to bring him up or should we come back? Perfect. Okay, then you're back there, Lawrence. Okay. Joe, we're going to, watch this, Joe. Watch this. We're going to pray and we're going to see some things. That would be really good. Denny, can you join them? Okay. So we're going to pray for these guys and see some healing done here. Amen? Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you. Is Maria coming up too? Troy, can you help? You need prayer? Isaac needs prayer? Okay. That's good. Rachel, can you help then? We just need some more help here. That would be good. Or someone can. Soon you can help Maria come. Joe, we're going to pray for you too. We just want you to see what God's going to do, okay? Cool. Now just keep your eyes, look at the screen here. Okay, Stephanie, can you join us? Okay, if you're not called, it's not because you're not anointed. We just can't have everybody at the same time, right? So Father, we just thank you for healing. We thank you for what you've done overseas. We thank you for what you're going to do here. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for all the miracles, God, that we've already seen and testified to. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the outpouring of the Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing that you're bringing continuously around the world and we have the privilege of partnering with. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. Thank you for what you're doing in Joe as he's receiving as well and also what's happening up in the front. So we just thank you, Lord, for the total healing release for all who are suffering from any malady, anything, Father, that's not feeling good. Thank you that all sickness leaves in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Michelle, can you help or do you need prayer? You need prayer? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tiana, can you come and help? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Teresa, can you bring Naomi up? Naomi has a strong healing anointing. She's just a baby. But just help her. She can lay hands on these people. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a group effort. This is a corporate effort, God. We're coming before you for you, Jehovah Rapha, to rise. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that our eyes are fixed on you and not a person. Our eyes are fixed on your power and your glory and your name. Thank you, Lord. This is your your story, your testimony, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. And as soon as you've received your healing, go lay hands on Joe. They're going to come back and pray for you too, Joe. Hang on. More people are coming, okay? Shikaraba. Goraba sakaraba shiki. Ikaraba shikaraba baba. Josh, can you join? And pray for Joe, too. Be awesome. Thank you. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys are just as effective in your seats. There's no distance in prayer. They're not special because they're up here. Okay? Everybody has a role. Everybody has a place to play in this. Shikaraba soko korabababa. So if you want to get on your face and pray, that's fine. You want to join in, that's fine. So ask them if they feel a change. If they feel a change, send them back to Joe. Go, Bethy. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can pray. Oh, you just, yeah, go over there. Yeah. Beth needs prayer too. Shakaraba. Hmm. Shikarabababababa. Sikiridi shikarabababa. Father, we thank you for your miracles in this place. We thank you, God, that it's going to spread to this region. Finally, in the way that you've designed, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that we are free, being freed of unbelief in this house. Thank you, Lord. And old wineskins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ask them if they feel better. So if they do, they need to go pray for Joe, okay? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Anybody have a change? Can you ask them? If there's a change, we need you. Joe needs you to go pray. Okay, just go pray. We receive and we give, okay? This is what he put on my heart. Shay! And if you've prayed for people and you've not seen healing, okay. His word speaks differently. We're not responsible for results. But we're going to stand on his word, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else feeling a change? Sakaraba shikaraba baba baba. Shikaraba sokori. Michelle, are you healed? You feeling better? Oh, you dry? Can you go join over there, did you? Karaba shikaraba baba. There's something about coming up and saying, I need help. There's something, we're vulnerable and we do that. So there's something in, when there's a call for it. So that's all part of it. There was one time when I was praying for the lepers and Carly went over to put her hand on one of the lepers, the men, and which is normally okay. But I felt the Lord say, I'm going to do this part without anybody. So nobody's looking to anyone but me. So I just asked Carly to take her hand off. And because she understands that I'm not against her or not trying to keep her from something, she just graciously backed off. And the man received healing. There are other times we go, we lay hands on people. So it's just whatever the Lord's leading at the moment. We're learning his voice more, right? Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you that there are no strokes in heaven. And we thank you, Lord. We take authority over the effects of this stroke. And we call forth a complete and total deliverance and healing for Joe. Thank you, Lord, that you will restore his speech fully and all motor coordination. And that he would be completely brought back to his original state, but far beyond. Lord, that there would be complete deliverance, complete healing on every front, that he would be able to be a spokesperson for healing and deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody ever thinks we are not standing on the word, come overseas and see. See for yourself. Because we believe that the word goes forth and then we see the miracles, okay? So we preach the word powerfully, strongly. We don't mess with this. It's too important. We don't mess with any area of the supernatural without strong foundation in the word of God. And that reigns here. So there's a balance with spirit and the word in this house. Okay, is there any, can we ask some questions? How's Maria doing? Is she feeling better? Somebody help me. My Spanish is not so good. Where are some lip tags? Shikara ba 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 ba. You feeling better? You feel any better? No change at all?
No change. I'm playing the presence, but still a lot of tension right here.
Oh, you need Jamie. Where's Jamie? Where's Jamie? Oh, do you have a minute? Can you just put your hand on Peter since you had a healing? He's got the same thing. You had the same thing that you experienced in the presence of God today? So put your hand on there since you received. Tomorrow, Inez is signing the contract for our land in Brazil. Thank you, Lord. How's he feeling? Any better? A little bit? That's cool, Joe. We're just going to keep on praying for him, and we're going to see it all the way. All the way.